Here we go, live from the No Panic Zone. I'm Steve Gruber. God bless America. It's the Steve Gruber Show for Tuesday, April the 28th, 2020. And here are three big things you need to know right now. Three, if Michigan continues to sit on the sidelines while other states like Texas and Florida open up and go to work and get their economies fired up, we'll put ourselves in a deeper hole for years to come. Number two, the numbers just keep coming up short. In Michigan, only 432 new cases reported Monday, the lowest number of new cases in a single day since mid-March. The rolling average is also coming down. Also, the Republican Governors Association is number one among those trying to get to the bottom of the inexplicable hiring of a far-left liberal activist organization to find and keep sensitive medical information on Michigan residents. The Republican governors asking for freedom of information requests to figure out what's going on there. We'll get to that. But first, we're joined by Congressman Dan Kildee of Michigan's 5th Congressional District. Congressman, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
How you feeling?
Not too bad. I mean, obviously, we're all trying to figure how to get through this, dealing with it professionally, but also, you know, personally, thinking about my family, trying to make sure everybody's safe.
Yeah.
Anxious to get back to Washington. We're going back on Monday.
Well, we're all interested in getting back to work soon, and I think, you know, working in states like Texas, Florida, Colorado, Georgia, Missouri, Ohio, all opening up. Michigan, the governor here, Gretchen Whitmer, resistant to that in large part so far, but I really think it's time, and I think it's time that we get moving again. What are your thoughts on reopening Michigan and, well, frankly, the rest of the country?
Well, let's keep in mind, you know, those other states obviously have to make decisions based on their data. Michigan is one of the hardest hit states, so we have to recognize that we may not be as fast as some of the others. But my view has been that we obviously need to get reopened. My personal goal is to do that in a way that is thoughtful, but relies heavily on data. We need, you know, significantly greater assets for testing, contact tracing, and isolation for those who are identified as carrying the virus, and use, I think, an approach similar to what South Korea has used, where they were able to get through it, continue to monitor, but let aspects of the economy get back to work and use good data and good science to make those decisions. Not just either be shut down or open, but realize that there's going to have to be some ways to measure how we're doing. And by doing that, I think we can be much more aggressive in terms of opening up the economy.
Yeah, South Korea, you know, they did aggressively open up their economy pretty well. When you look at brand new reports, 43% positive in Brooklyn, 32% in Massachusetts, a half a million people in Santa Clara, California, all have it. More than 55% of the people in the prison in Branch County, Michigan, the inmates there testing positive. This is a lot more prevalent than we thought before. And if we continue to stay shut down, the long-term effects of poverty, are, as you well know from your job, could be far more devastating than COVID-19 will ever be. You know, poverty, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, domestic abuse, child abuse, all of it are problems we could be facing going into the future for a long time if we don't get ourselves upright again pretty quickly.
Yeah, and like I said, it's not a matter of on or off. It's a matter of standing up the economy in a way that's orderly, thoughtful, based on good science, good investigation, tracking those people who have it, following up with them. I think there's a way to do this. And let's face it, Steve, if we're going to spend the kind of money that we're spending, let's spend it in a smart way that allows us to carefully open the economy, particularly certain aspects of the economy that have, you know, really positive secondary impacts to open up the supply chain. But do it by making sure that the standards in the workplace require some level of social distancing, that the material management does not exacerbate the problem, but that we test. If we can invest far more in testing, that gives us the tools to be much more aggressive.
But the fact of the matter is we did flatten the curve. On the 23rd of March, when Governor Whitmer came out and said we have to do this because if we don't, 7 million people in Michigan will be sick and 1 million will be in the hospital. A fairly inaccurate claim. Of course, most of the models failed. I won't say just her model failed. They all failed dramatically. And now you know that with this massive number of people that already have the illness, we flattened the curve. But it seems like the standard has been changed. Now we need all this testing before we get back to normal. It doesn't make sense.
Well,
we flattened the curve.
Steve. Steve, we need the testing.
I don't disagree with that, but we flattened the curve.
There is not any medical or scientific expert that says that we don't need significantly greater testing in order to make sure we're monitoring how we're doing. Now, it's true that we flattened the curve, which means that, you know, the interventions have worked to an extent. We can argue about which model would have happened had we not taken these steps. And
well,
I agree,
it's
all over the board.
In fairness,
I'm going to push back a bit. I absolutely believe, especially for those who are advocating to open the economy, we can't just say we're going to do it and not significantly increase the amount of testing available. That's a very dangerous approach.
No, I agree with the testing. I'm okay with the testing.
I think we need to do
that. But I'm going to push back insofar as the number of people that have been exposed, the fatality rate is now 0.1% in many of these places. New York City has 25% of all New York City residents have been exposed. That's millions of people. Millions. And so, yes, I understand we've lost 55,000 Americans. Some believe that people are being added to the COVID list that maybe don't belong there, but we can argue about that. In Quebec, just north of us, 25,000 cases, 2,000 deaths. You know what they're doing next week? They're going back to school with the school kids because they know this. People under 20 have no risk of fatality, almost none whatsoever. There are some rare outlier cases. I understand that. But as a general rule, kids could be in school. We're not going to do that here. Okay. But we need to be looking at these things because the long-term damage emotionally, financially, is going to be devastating. And when I say Texas, Florida, Colorado, all these other states are opening, if Michigan stands here on the sidelines, these states are going to have a greater competitive advantage, putting us even farther behind. Are they not?
Well, look, I think the goal right now, I mean, I understand your point, but the goal is to recognize that each state is having a different set of experiences. Where I live, I've had a couple hundred of my constituents die from this.
Right.
I have two close friends die from it. So it's a little more personal for some of us to look at the data and realize we can't just say everything's fine, open it up, forget about it. That's not what I'm saying. And I don't think that's what you're saying. What I'm saying is if we're going to open this up, we have to recognize this is a unique virus that is highly lethal in certain cohorts of the population. And we have to be careful. Those school kids, you know, I understand your point about the data that school children may not be susceptible to it. That doesn't mean they can't carry it and deliver the virus to someone else. So, you know, people across the political spectrum have supported standing down. The question and the debate that I think we need to focus on is what are the tools we need in order to, as quickly as possible, stand the economy back up? And if we can't have a debate about that, if we can't say that there are going to be certain tools that we need to emphasize as we do that, as opposed to just say, well, this isn't as bad as everybody thought it was, let's just get back to normal, I think that'd be a deadly mistake.
Dan Kilday, congressman for Michigan's 5th Congressional District here with me. We've got to leave it there. I'm definitely for a quicker reopening of the economy, but we will see how it goes. Testing is important, but so are all the jobs lost and all the lives impacted. I think you would agree with that. We've got to leave it there, Congressman. Always a pleasure. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you.
Dan Kilday, everybody, at the Steve Irwin Show here in the No Panic Zone. Back after this.
When it comes to planning for your future, you want an advisor who understands your Christian values. Ameriprise Financial Advisor Craig Stiles offers financial planning based on biblical principles. He can help you plan for your goals in a way that is consistent with your faith. Call Craig Stiles today at 517-483-4893. Office is located at 2400 Lake Lansing Road, Suite B, Lansing, Michigan, 48912. Ameriprise Financial provides financial services without regard to religious affiliation or cultural background. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
A social distancing tip.
Keeping your distance from others is important in slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are some fun things to do alone. Read a book, take a walk, unpack your suitcase from that trip you took last September, paint a self-portrait, catch up on a TV series, do a puzzle. Remember, we should all stay home to lower the risk for everyone. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part because we're all #alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Roxor Beast of a Sales event is here right now. Get $1,250 off of a 2019 Roxor and an extra year of warranty. That's an industry-leading 3 years of warranty. But then what else would you expect from a side-by-side unlike any other? Roxor is hand-assembled in the USA with a steel body, box steel frame, and a four-cylinder Mahindra turbo diesel engine. Plus, with a heavy-duty beltless transmission, you can expect less downtime and more off-road time. Hurry, the Roxor Our Beast of a Sales event ends April 30th.
Sweet strawberry icing. You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket you spot. Miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the